You are listening to highlights from the Creative Processes interview with director, cinematographer, Maxime Derevyanko. This podcast is supported by the Jan Michalski Foundation.
I'm not interested in opera at all. Normally, I don't listen to music. My Turandot is going to be different.
This is our director, Ai Weiwei.
He's been called the most powerful figure in contemporary art.
I know Ai Weiwei as a free speech magnet, as a freedom fighter.
This is a perfect story about China.
China is not a free country.
Poche ore fa il governo ha definito delle regole alle quali ovviamente noi non possiamo non sottostare, quindi dobbiamo chiudere il teatro fino alla fine di marzo. Non si possono fare più le prove.
Always say the work is like my home. So it's like suddenly you build the home, it collapsed. Why I will we have to do a Turandot? You know, what is my interpretation of the show?
No one has ever done a Turandot that's about the world today as it is, so directly. Every detail, every costume, every prop has been designed new. Nothing is the way it ever usually looks.
Well, I always Turandot costume related his work and his life. The concept of his artwork is definitely related to Turandot.
I think the art compete with reality, and art will give the last words.
When we decided to do a documentary to follow Ai Weiwei, we knew it wouldn't be just a simple opera. We knew he would bring his own very special and original vision. And because he's not an opera director, so from his point of view, it's a challenge. But from another point of view, probably it's an enrichment for the opera audience because he doesn't follow the rules of opera. And of course, once you decide to do a documentary about Ai Weiwei, it's in his DNA to be political. So once I started to follow him, basically the political issues, the political topics and everything came inside of the documentary by themselves. My question I wanted to make a documentary about what is art and why do we need it? I was asking myself this since a long time. I was working at the Rome Opera House since 2015 as a filmmaker, doing commercials mainly for them, so trailers for each production. But every time I was there, my question was, why this is happening? I mean, why there are people believing in a story of love, of other people just singing for 2 hours with costumes and music, but you go to the theater and you believe in this illusion. If you take it out from the theater, and I don't know, if you see people expressing that way in the streets, you would think that's ridiculous. You know, expressing love or another concept through singing, you will just talk about it. But in that environment, you believe in it. And so my question was, why? Why do we need it? Why we do it in that way? When I started this documentary, I had this question, and after COVID arrived, for me, it was very clear, and I wanted to show you, because when everything was taken away, people just got mad. I mean, you truly get crazy without the possibility of expressing. You don't have to be like an incredible, great artist. Even the people that started painting during the lockdown just because they had fun, that's art too, because it's expression. I mean, there were people like singing on their balconies or playing music in the afternoons. I saw it with my eyes that it was a physical need, even when there wasn't a possibility or places where art could be put, because of course museums were closed, theaters were closed, cinemas closed, everything was closed. So naturally people find a way to keep doing it. And that means it is inside of our nature. It's inside of our needs just as much as eating. You can survive, I don't know, a couple of days if you don't listen to any kind of music, read any kind of books, see any kind of paintings or sculpture or anything, you go crazy. And of course, then together with Michele Gogo, Silvia Pelati and Genio Fallarino, the writers, we got through the 2020 season of the Opera House. We saw Ai Weiwei was coming and I said, okay, this would be an incredible production where we could maybe try to find an answer to those questions. So while I was trying to search for answers for these questions, of course, inside arrived the topics that Ai Weiwei brings with him all the time. So refugees, political issues, dictatorship, totalitarianism, freedom of speech, all of this. And everything basically starting from just one question that Puccini made for us, that is, what is love, basically? So we are all trying to answer to this question, and probably we will keep answering in the next, I don't know, million of years, because it will change all the time. So, I mean, the reason actually why I wanted to do a documentary basically started like a little bit more than 100 years ago, because my great-grandfather, he became in 1922 the first violinist of the Rome Opera House, of the orchestra of the Rome Opera House. And then I started in 2015 as a videographer for the Rome Opera House. And basically, well, of course, I did film school and everything, and I always wanted to do a feature-length movie. So I started there, but of course I knew I didn't want to stay there like forever. But that place, of course, was really deep inside my family, because then my mother also, she became a ballet soloist of the Rome Opera House. And so I felt really linked. And every time I was like in front of the orchestra pit and I was looking at the empty orchestra pit, I was like almost hypnotized, because I said, it's incredible that 100 years ago, my great-grandfather was sitting there and now I'm here with the camera filming. That make me question, you know, it's just by chance or is it destiny? Everything is written. I should be here. I don't know. It just made me trigger some interesting questions. So I said, okay, if I have to leave from this place, I want to leave with something that is really important for me. And so I decided, okay, I want to do a documentary, but I didn't want to do a documentary about the Rome Opera House in general, about the lives that are inside of the Rome Opera House and about how many people work hard behind like a 2-hour show that the people sitting, they just don't realize how many lives are coming together to bring you on stage, basically just an emotion or just a message. We have the story of Ai Weiwei. We have to understand who is Ai Weiwei, why is he doing his art, and why he is so important. So we start to discover, so who is Turandot, who is Ai Weiwei? And then there is the last layer that follows our production, so even the documentary production, because we all had to go through basically almost the very similar steps. We used the story of Turandot as a metaphor of Ai Weiwei's life, because we have Calaf, who is an exiled, just like him, and just like him, he fights against tyranny. And of course, against the Chinese dictatorship. And then we all had to face our own big challenge. So that moment, just when Calaf solves the three riddles, is exactly the moment when Calaf has his challenge, and the challenge is the three riddles. Ai Weiwei's challenge is to manage to go through his imprisonment of 81 days. And he manages because his art and his ideology of freedom of speech and everything involves so many people around the world that basically got bigger than him, and the Chinese government couldn't just make him disappear, because otherwise they would admit that they were not a free country, like they say. Together, we all, the production, and yet even the documentary production, we all had to face our challenge, that was COVID. And COVID, even if it's not a political enemy, it was still, it tried to shut down the arts, to shut down life in general. You know, we couldn't move, we couldn't express, we couldn't share. And how did we do that? Through art, because like in Italy, the lockdown was very heavy. At some point, we became the first country in the world to have the virus. So we, and people remembers that we got through the pandemic only because, and during the lockdown, only because we could watch movies, read books. People started again to paint. Some other people took their guitars and started to play. You can see that in moment of difficulties, arts arrives and saves you, because you need to express, you need to communicate, you need to communicate. And so then there is this moment of the opera where Calaf says, okay, I won, but now you have to solve one riddle. And at the end of the aria, it's the first time and last that you start hearing the theme, the musical theme of the Nessun Dorma, which is, of course, probably the most famous piece of music ever written. And it became then like a hymn of hope, basically. And so it's almost after this darkness, you start to see the light. We noticed one thing, that the aria of Nessun Dorma, it has two parts. One part, it's dark. It's dark. The second part, it's so positive. So there is like light. And so there was like, at some point we said, that's incredible, because in one aria, we have two themes that we used, one for the darkest moments of the documentary, and the other part for the beautiful moments of the documentary. Like, of course, when the earthquake, we use the dark part. When Ching Chang is talking about Ai Weiwei, how they met and how, you know, their relation, we use the positive one. To me, it was really important. You know, you cannot compete to me with Puccini. And once you have to do something with that kind of music, you just have to step back. So with the together with the composer, we thought, okay, we will do the same exact music, but rearrange it. And then we found these two themes inside of the same piece. And this was incredible. So the audience never leaves Puccini since the beginning. And I think it's very beautiful. I don't like to give quotes like keys to read the lives, but I was thinking, especially in those days, we are surrounded by war and politicians that, I mean, they're just going mad. And what I saw in Italy, but of course also in the US, it's the amount of money that now are being spent on armies and guns and all of this, but like billions of billions of billions, hundreds of billions. And I started to think, you know, what will happen if you spend the same exact money, not only on culture, but schools and all of these things, and you just completely, I know that's a utopia, an utopic thinking, but what if you just don't have any armies anymore and you just put all of this energy into forming new people in and giving them the instruments to see life, of course, in a certain way? I don't think that war will ever end. I mean, it's part of the nature, unfortunately, of the human being. But I feel like if we do something like this, probably people will start fighting, you know, composing the best music, writing the best book, And I feel this would be something incredible to challenge or to fight or to show supremacy, let's put it in this way, based on the cultural level of the country or something like that. I don't know. I feel that this is actually possible. I don't think it's just madness or something crazy that came to my mind. But yeah, if the same amount of money would be invested in culture and all of these things, then the whole world would completely change because people would have the instrument to understand the world that you have around, and they will start to also to understand what is respect. They wouldn't be ignorant anymore.
We hope you enjoyed listening to these highlights. To listen to the latest episode or learn more about participating in exhibitions or interviews, click on subscribe. Thank you for listening.